Hello, welcome to The Fat Lips, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I'm your fat host, Ash. And today I have a follow-up with Kelly, who I spoke to a couple of episodes ago, Livid Lipids. We cut that episode off a little short because Kelly got a call from a medical office that she'd been having a hell of a time with. So this is the rest of that chat. Also, before we start, I wanted to say, to tell you, that I'm thinking about making some format changes for the pod. And if you're a Patreon patron, I need your ear and your thoughts on that. I'm going to be posting about it on Patreon and asking for feedback in the next week or so. So be on the lookout if you're a patron. If you're not a patron, but you want to be on this little focus group action, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out how. And you can support the show for as little as a dollar an episode or $2 a month. All patron tiers are going to be involved in this. So if you would like to get in on this, go to patreon.com/thefatlip and pledge, and you can get in your thoughts also for this change. For now, though, let's chat with Kelly.
So, like, I know you had said that you wanted to, like, follow up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess I don't have that much to follow up about, like, with that particular incident with the doctor. Because, like, basically nothing happened. Like, they were terrible on the phone. And then, like, I recorded my side of that. And I was so irritated with myself that I didn't make it so that it recorded the other side of the conversation, too. But I had my headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, like, my parents were visiting that week. And, like, I was in my room for our phone call and then for that one. And, like, I didn't want to take those headphones off because I didn't want my family to, like, hear the phone call happening.
Right.
In case they were standing right out the door or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in hindsight, I was like, this is stupid. Like, I'm talking about it and I'm, like, trying to make a point of being more transparent about stuff like this happening to me. But, it's a habit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, so I only got my side and I didn't get them. But I mean, like, it's all the same old shit. And
yeah. And I mean, like I told you, like, I feel like fat people don't need proof that this happens.
Right.
Like, we believe you because it happens to us too. Like, if my interest with this podcast was, like, proving to thin people that this happens to us, then yeah, maybe that, like, that would be useful. But fat people know, and I don't care about convincing thin people, so. Like, thin people don't, I mean, especially fat haters, they're not interested in listening to what the experience of fat people. Like, they don't believe that we are reliable sources of our own stories anyway. So.
Right.
So, okay, so what happened in the call? So, I listened to it, but. But for the sake of the podcast, tell us what happened.
So, like, I feel like I've probably blocked out a lot.
I mean, and I don't blame you.
And I didn't listen to it again to prep before this, partially because, like, I listened to a Sasquatch podcast instead. But anyway, I got on the phone with they called me. And it was this lady, Melanie, who was the nurse manager, and she's the lady that I spoke to beforehand. So just as way of backstory, like, I had a terrible experience with this doctor and his nurse. I sent a letter via, like, MyChart, which is, like, their online portal. It's everywhere, but, you know, in case somebody doesn't know what it is, it's an online portal. And, like, a nurse called me who was not, she didn't have any position of authority or anything. She was just, like, a different doctor's nurse who was, like, on call that day. And so she was reading messages and she's like, I am so sorry this happened to you. And I'm going to let the nurse manager know. Well, the nurse manager called me and she was, like, terrible. And just very, like, argumentative and very, like, well, I think I talked about it on the podcast last time. And then
like, saying that she's big and that she's never experienced this treatment or anything.
Yes.
Like that.
Exactly. And so then the phone call, the last phone call I had with them was that lady, Melanie, the nurse manager, and then somebody else who I don't recall exactly what her title was. It was like administrative manager or something like that. Like maybe not the nurse manager, but like the office side.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically just like tag teamed it as far as like, you know, telling me that, I mean, like some of the stuff that they said to me was absolutely ridiculous. Like, yeah. Like at one point she was like, I can 100% guarantee that this is the best care you could ever receive. And I'm like, so do you think that the, like all of what I'm asking for aside, which primarily they were arguing with me about the fact that they could not accommodate my request to not be weighed and not have like my weight talked about.
Mm-hmm.
That's mostly what they argue with me about. But I was like, all of that aside, like there was a really serious communication error where like I had discussed a treatment plan for a certain medication with the doctor. And then they called and told me something else. And then when I went to pick up the medication, it was a third completely different medication. And I was like, you know, all of the fat stuff aside, like, do you think that interaction, that communication breakdown, like within your own staff, was that 100% best care?
Right.
And they basically just like didn't answer me at all. It was just like, no. So it's like they were saying stuff like that. And it's like,
so what's the argument that they're giving you for insisting that you must be weighed and that like your weight must be discussed? Like what's their, like, why are they insisting that needs to happen?
Basically they were saying like you have symptoms of being fat and things that are affected by being fat. Like if my knees are bothering me, then it's fatness, and like my size needs to be considered. And if I have, I don't know, like they had put down on my chart that I had shortness of breath, which like I'm pretty sure the doctor thought was just because I'm fat and out of shape or whatever. But like it wasn't that. Like I think I might be having like some severe allergy or like almost asthma type stuff pop up here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But like they were essentially like, well, if you're out of breath because you're big, like you have to get, you know, we have to talk about your weight in order to treat that. And it's like, well, even if that's true, like you can do it in a better way than like the way that you're trying to do, which is very like, you know, invalidating and bullying.
Right.
And I don't know. Like I felt like several times during the call, I tried to really like connect with them on a personal level. And I tried to be very like upfront and honest, but I mean it essentially like got down to the fact that like they wouldn't even say the word fat, and I kind of challenged them on that at one point, like, you're not even saying the word fat, like you can't even say the word, like, so because they were, you know, oh, larger, mm-hmm. or you know, the O word or all this other stuff, and I'm just like, you can't even say the word fat, so like what does that tell you about how you feel about a person like me who's asking to be treated better because of like, or treated in a way that is respectful of being fat, you know?
Right, right.
And at the end, I just broke down because I'm just like, you know, finally it's like, these are like, you're making my health worse. Like, and like, you don't care. I'm like, and I said to them at some point, like, because they were saying, you know, they're saying, like, we have never had this happen before, ever. And I'm like, well, what would you do if somebody else came in and they weren't fat and they were like, I need help with an eating disorder, or I need care that is respectful of an eating disorder or PTSD or whatever, or they have a phobia of doctors. Like, what would you do in that situation? And they're like, this has never happened before. That's never happened before. And I'm
That's because
like,
when it happens to people, when fat people go in and get bad care, they just don't come back. Like that's
right.
That's entirely the problem, that fat people are getting bad care from doctors and nurses and medical professionals everywhere. And it's making fat people's health worse because then fat people just don't go to doctors. Like,
right.
You're standing up for yourself and telling them that it's wrong, but most fat people don't. Most fat people, right. when they are treated poorly, they just never go back. And like, that's entirely right. The problem. Entirely.
Or like me, like you jump between doctors and so then you end up not having any kind of continuity of care because you're going to all these different doctors and like you don't have any kind of history or like you aren't able to develop. And I tried to explain to them, like, I'm not saying that I will never talk about my weight or my body size or whatever or concerns about it. Like, I want care that is able to incorporate all of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot trust a doctor to talk about that stuff in a way that's not going to hurt me if they can't even go at least like one or two appointments at the beginning.
Right.
Without them insisting on doing this stuff that I'm like, no, this is harmful to me. This hurts me. Like, if you can't get over that hump, like, we're never going to get to a place where I'm going to trust you to say like, well, I have a rash between my roll or whatever.
Right.
You know? So, but it's just like, they just weren't there. Like, they just couldn't hear it. And I knew like somebody that I met recently, who is in the queer community and in the context of queerness specifically, not necessarily fatness, but basically said that, and this new friend, this is getting convoluted. You might need to edit this. So a new friend of mine has a person of color friend who told them, like, if you think that you can change the world and you can change people's opinions and convince them of your humanity, like, that's your privilege and you're wrong. And you have to prepare yourself and your children essentially for a world that wants them to die. And it was like a real punch to the gut. And I was like, at the time, I don't know what to do with that because I already struggle with like suicidal ideation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, how do you exist in a world that doesn't want you?
Yeah.
And so when I first heard it, it was like really like, oh my God, like I don't, can't handle it. But I've kept thinking about it because it's a powerful statement. And I think it goes to show too, like the more shit you got going on that society doesn't want or doesn't like and is going to punish you for, like the harder it's going to be and the more you have to be convinced of your own intrinsic value.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And worthiness. Because otherwise, yeah, like, but I mean, right now I'm in a place where I am in like burnout. I'm in like self-advocacy burnout.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just like super sensitive. I went off all of my medications. I was just like, and I finally got in. I remembered the name of an old endocrinologist that I saw years ago and who was okay. And so I went to her and I was straight up with her and just was like, I went off all my medications because I didn't trust any of these doctors that prescribed them. And I wanted to just start over with somebody that I trusted more, you know, mm-hmm. which is to say like any.
Yeah.
So, and you know, she was able to give me care. And so I'm getting like restarted with diabetes care, which is a relief. And but like as far as like that office, I called, they tried to convince me to come back in and see a different doctor. And I'm just like, no, like I'm never coming back to your office. Like, right. Why would I? And I wanted to, like, I guess it was last week, I called the next step up. To be like, hey, who can I speak to about this situation? And again, like the lady who I talked to was really nice and seemed very understanding. And she's like, this is my name and I'm going to pass it on to the people who are in charge and da 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 and figure out who you can talk to. And like, nobody has called me back.
Right.
So I'm like, well, like I have to pick and choose. Like, And sometimes it's hard to choose because, like, it can sit on my desk for, like, a week or whatever before I follow up, because it's like, if I choose that, then I use up a bunch of energy that I can't use for something else later in the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, when do I bite the bullet and do it?
Right.
But I feel like I should, because I want to help other people not get hurt the way that I did.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I'm still like trying to recover from that particular incident itself, you know? Like,
I
ended up,
right now I wouldn't worry about if you don't plan on going back, I would leave it with them for now. Like, just do what you have to do for your own safety, and then someday at a later date, when you're far enough out to be righteously angry about it, then I would tackle them again, because right now, like, it's too raw and too personal, and it's just not safe for you to go back at them. I would save them for another day.
I do feel like I did have the thought of, like, printing out things to read and, like, just sending it to them.
Yeah.
Like, anonymously, and be like, here you go. Here's some stuff to read if you actually care.
Right. Right.
And I might still do that, but it involves printing things out. And right now my printer is downstairs, and we have a bunch of mice downstairs, and I don't want to go down there.
I do not blame you. I do not like mice.
Oh, but so, okay. More follow up. I went to a psychologist shortly after. Like, I was expecting the appointment to be a couple of weeks out because they were booked up, but they had a isolation. I was able to go in, and I got an unofficial diagnosis for autism spectrum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then they're also going to be, like, evaluating me for PTSD.
Good.
So it's like, yeah, like, it's a relief, and it's also, like, changing how I think about certain things. And, but even just sitting in that office, like, you know, in the waiting room, I was crying. And I went in, and I was crying, and, you know, they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, well, I'm scared. Like, I've had a lot of bad experiences recently with doctors.
Yeah.
So, but it ended up being a good experience overall. And, like,
good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. But it has me thinking too about, like, how, oh, and I don't know, just like a lot of things people have said to me. Like, I have an old friend from college, and she said, like, you can't other people, if you let other people define your value, they're always going to let you down. And, but also at the same time, usually we learn how to view ourselves from the people who raise us.
Yeah.
And so, like, interestingly, like, I never thought I was fat when I was a kid. And, like, my mom would always be like, you were at the top of the height and weight charts. But I think maybe she thought fat was a bad word, and so we didn't say it. But now, like, when I look at pictures of myself when I was a child, like, she sent me a picture of me in, like, a Halloween costume in third grade. And I've got some serious VBO going. And I was like, maybe I was fat as a child, and I just, like, nobody ever said it, like, as a weird, like, euphemistic protective thing at the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've always felt like, oh, I'm a fat adult. I wasn't fat as a kid. And now I'm like, well, maybe I was fat as a kid. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I don't know, it's like, because, like, I have the opposite experience. Looking back, I always thought of myself as fat when I was a kid. And looking at pictures now, I'm like, I just look like an average kid. Like, I don't look fat at all in these pictures. So it's interesting how how our narrative or our feeling of our bodies as children can be so vastly different from reality.
For real, yeah. I mean, like, that was in high school, you know, when I was like a size 12, like I thought that I looked the way that I do now. And, yeah. But even more than that, I think that I viewed other fat people, or not even fat people, but just like, I think I viewed other people who I thought were fat as like massively bigger than they are. Like, I had this really weird experience last year where people were talking about like fat icons, like who was the first fat person in media or character, you know, in a book or something that you found out about or identified with. And mine was Cameron Mannheim, from the Practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up pictures of her from the Practice, and like, she was so much smaller than I remember her being.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching that show in high school and stuff and being like, oh my gosh, she's so fat. You know, she's like me. She's so fat. And it's like, neither of us were that fat.
Right, right.
So it's like, you know, it's very strange to look back again, like at these narratives of like, they're the narratives that we learn from other people about us. There are narratives that we learn about ourselves that are informed by those things. And it's like, when you're an adult and you can sort of like zoom out and you have the ability to see it for what it really is, it's like, well, how much of this has shaped who I am today?
Yeah.
Haha, shaped. But, you know, it's like, and how you view your own body. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's starting to get colder, so I was putting my favorite flannel sheets on my Big Fig yesterday, and I was thinking about how I've had this bed for a whole year, and I can't believe how well it's holding up. With all of the beds that I've had in my life, like going back to junior high, within 6 months I've started to notice a sag in the spot where I'm sleeping every night. I know you know this dilemma. You get that like dip in your mattress. But here I am a year later with my Big Fig, fatter than ever, and there's not even a hint of a dip in this thing. It's amazing. And it's still just as comfortable as the day it was delivered. It manages this with hybrid construction of durable memory foam and 1600 pocketed coils for the perfect combination of comfort and support. And the Big Fig comes with a 20-year warranty, so I still have many, many more years of comfy sleeping ahead of me. You could have the same by going to bigfigmattress.com and using the code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off of your purchase and to let them know that I sent you. Get the first bed made specifically for larger sleepers with Big Fig. Thank you to Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's episode and the music you hear every episode. Hear more from him at cstarcrusher.bandcamp.com. And thank you, as always, to our Patreon patrons. The patron of the week is Liz. Thank you, Liz, for your support. And as I said at the top of the show, I'm thinking about a format change for the pod. So I'm going to be bringing that to our Patreon patrons for discussion. I'm going to make a video for you guys and post it on Patreon for patrons only in the next week or so. And I would love your thoughts and feedback. Also, our third year sticker is coming soon for patrons who have pledged $5 or more. Yes, I changed that reward tier, so now all patrons who have pledged $5 or more per episode and provided their address will receive our Year 3 Fat Lip sticker. Those have gone to the printer, so as soon as I get them back, I will start sending them. If you would like an exclusive patron sticker or to be part of the decision-making process for a potential format change, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to learn how to sponsor the show. And as I said at the top of the show, all patrons will be included in this discussion, so pledge at least $1 an episode so you can tell me your thoughts on this. That video will be coming to the patron-only feed in the next week or so keep an eye out. And I'd love to hear what you all think. As always, don't forget to follow us on social media. And if you have some time, I'd love it if you could rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. And if you're a Spotify user, you can now subscribe to The Fat Lip on Spotify. And like I always say, the more ratings and reviews that we have, the more subscribers we have, the better we will rank in search results, and the more ears we will have on us. So thank you for your support in that way also. Okay, that's all I have for you this week. I will see you again next time. Bye-bye.